I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to a passage in Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 10 these words about what the Lord Jesus has done from verse 1 to 17. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Amen. And God will bless the reading of that portion of his word. Tonight I want to tell you about this man. This man of Hebrews 10. The man who replaces all that went before him. Every priest that went before him, he replaces. This man who accomplished the whole purpose of God in its entirety, fulfilling the whole ceremonial or sacrificial law of God. This man, upon whom rests all of God's plan of redemption. Completely. This man, whom we love as Christians above all else, the one whom the Bible describes as the pearl of greatest price, the most precious thing or person to have. This man, who if you do not know him, you are so lost. This man of Hebrews 10 is our Saviour, Jesus Christ. This man, who on the 17th of September, 1987, met me in my bedroom when I was reading John 19 and verse 5. This man who saved me. And though I have failed him every day for 29 years, he has never, never let me down. Not once. This man has provided for me, and through him I stand here. It's because of Jesus that I have that wife. Without him it would be impossible. It is Christ that we have in common. It's through Jesus that I have this family. It's because of Jesus. If it wasn't for this man of Hebrews 10, I would be in prison today, or I'd be in eternity. And if you truly know me, you know that. He has helped me, this man, and showed me the scriptures. He has taught me to interpret the Bible. It's this man who has brought me to this place. And he's done it all for his glory, this man. And you can know him. You can know this man of Hebrews 10. I want tonight, in introducing the passage, to tell you a story. And it's a story that took place many times in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. The Israelite who sinned. It's the story of this passage that I've read. The Israelite who sinned was guilty. He felt the guilt of his sin. He would take his lamb, his offering, to the tabernacle, the tent version of the temple. And he would take it there to a priest. And he would lay his hand on the sacrifice, his lamb. And he would confess his sin. And that lamb would then be killed while his hand is upon it. And the priest caught the blood in a bowl and took that blood and sprinkled it on the altar. And this Israelite who had sinned, with his hand on the animal, felt its last breath, its death throes. And from that he learned that sin is a terrible thing. This animal died in my place for my sin. And he went home with a measure of peace because he'd done what God said that he was to do. And the next time he sinned, he went and did the same thing all over again. And the next day and the next week and the next week and the next year and on it would go. It kept being repeated. And then the priest arose in the morning in the tabernacle. And as part of his duties for the day, the first thing he would do was offer what was called the morning sacrifice. And he would, when he's offering the morning sacrifice, he would confess upon it the sins of Israel, the sins of God's whole people for that day. And then, at the end of the day, in the evening time, he did the same thing again. He offered the evening sacrifice, confessing on it the sins of the people of Israel for that day. And this was repeated every day for over 1,000 years, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft times, often daily, the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. And then one day of the year, on the Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest offered a sacrifice of a firstborn lamb, the best, of course, for all Israel. And all Israel is gathered on the Day of Atonement, one day in a year. You'll read of it in Leviticus 16. And on that day, all the high priest's garments, the gems, the breastplate, all the things commanded by God, all symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ and various aspects of his character and being, on that day, the high priest takes all these things off. All his priestly robes, all his symbols of rank, it all comes off. And he's left in a plain, white, ordinary robe. And he takes the blood of the firstborn lamb in behind the veil, into the holy of holy places, one day per year, where the Ark of the Covenant is, and on top of the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat over which the angels touch their wings. And the high priest went in there to offer this yearly sacrifice for the sins of God's people. He did so with a rope around his ankle, as no one else was ever allowed in there except him one day a year. And if God wasn't happy, he would die. And if he died in there, no one could go and get him out, and they trailed him out by the rope tied to his ankle. He was only allowed in once per year. And he offered atonement for the people. Verses 1 and 3. It says in verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Talking about the Day of Atonement in that verse. But it had to be done every year for over 1,000 years. Now, my friends, as you know, as you well know, and as I am emphasizing to you, these are the sacrifices in the book of Leviticus commanded by God. And I'm emphasizing that they were repeated and repeated and repeated. As this passage tells us, they were repeated twice daily. They were repeated every time an Israelite sinned. They were repeated every year. And the point of this passage in Hebrews 10 is this: to answer to us the question that we may ask, why were they always offered continually, year after year after year, week and week, day by day? Why? Verses 1 to 4 explain that, don't they? For the law, it's talking about the sacrificial law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers unto perfect. For then, would he not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. They had to be repeated over and over because they couldn't forgive sin. It's impossible that the blood of an animal could atone for the sins of a human being. Impossible. These sacrifices were given by God. Why? As a remembrance, as a reminder of sin to God's people every year, every day and every year. But they did not forgive sin. They reminded people of sin. Now, that's why I now want to tell you about this man. He has changed all that, hasn't he? This man, firstly, Jesus Christ, he came not to offer more Old Testament sacrifices. Verses 5 and 6. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Christ came into the world, it's quoting from the Psalm 40. Christ came into the world and said to God, sacrifice and offering, you don't want them. You don't want me to offer Old Testament sacrifices. What did he want in place of it? Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body. A body hast thou prepared me. In verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Pleasure means total satisfaction. It says the same thing in the verse 8. God had no pleasure in those things of which are offered in the sacrificial law. They didn't bring atonement and satisfaction for the sins of people. This man did not come to offer more Old Testament sacrifices. Not means the absolute negation. Thou wouldest not. Sacrifices and offerings, thou wouldest not. God did not want them. Thou hast no pleasure in them. It means God was not well pleased. It's not that these sacrifices in the Old Testament were wrong. They weren't wrong. God had commanded them. It was his law. They were pointing to Jesus Christ. They were not wrong. But this hath respect to their end. They were insufficient, says John Owen, the Puritan. God never appointed them to make an atonement for sin. He did not accept them to that end. End of quote. Jesus did not come to offer sacrifices, plural, for sin, but a body. Thou hast prepared me, he says to his father instead in verse 5, a body, a human body, that he might have somewhat to offer sacrifice to God, says John Owen. God the Father prepared a body, past tense, for the second person in the Trinity, because he didn't want any more sacrifices. So this man came not to offer Old Testament sacrifices, but came in a body prepared by God the Father. Secondly, this man came to obey God's will. Verses 7 and 9. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Takes away the first, the sacrificial system. He's establishing now a new covenant. He's coming to do God's will in this. And Christ came into this world to do God's will and to do it perfectly. And he did it perfectly and he lived sinlessly. And he said, all through his ministry, he said words to that effect. He said to his earthly mother and Joseph, I must be about my father's business. He wanted to do his father's will. Or John 17, in that prayer, Jesus says, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Father, He says, I do only those things that please you. He came into this world to do the will of God, not to offer Old Testament sacrifices, to do God's will. Why did this man come? Not to offer sacrifices, firstly. He came to do God's will, secondly. Thirdly, this man came to offer one sacrifice for sin forever. Verses 9 to 12. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then it says about the Old Testament, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. His body was offered, verse 10, just once. In complete contrast to the repeated offerings made by the Old Testament priests in the rest of the chapter in verse 11. Daily, offering every year. In contrast to that, the Bible says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he came into this world to offer simply one sacrifice. And that sacrifice was himself. And he, Jesus Christ, is the end of all sacrifices. Because the atonement from his blood lasts forever. One sacrifice for sin, for how long? Forever. And anyone continuing to offer cows or goats to God in sacrifice is an abomination to God. Jesus Christ is the end, the fulfillment of the whole sacrificial system. And he took away the first, and he established the second, himself, his one sacrifice, forever. Jesus Christ's death on Golgotha's hill is the end of the Levitical sacrificial system. It's the end of the Levites. It's the end of Jews according to the flesh. It's the end of all that. The body that God the Father had prepared for his only Son, that body that was scourged so much that his back was like a ploughed field, was beaten, his face was marred, says Isaiah, more than that of any man, and nailed to a cross in public as the one sacrifice for sins forever. And that took place in that unnatural darkness during those 3 hours when God the Father was offered that one sacrifice for sins forever, which was the soul of Jesus Christ. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And God the Father's justice, all that righteousness, saw the travail of Christ, the eternal Son's soul, was completely satisfied. The justice was completely met and fulfilled. It had to be the sacrifice of the eternal Son, didn't it? Because no one else could meet the price that was owed. If someone in the Old Testament committed the sin of stealing another man's animals, he had to repay back. There was recompense, wasn't there? It had to be paid back. It wasn't just glossed over. It had to be paid back. He restored 3, 4, or 5-fold. If a man in the Old Testament committed a more heinous sin, like murder, how did he pay that back? With his life. A life for a life. Someone else's life was taken. The recompense had to be equal to the crime committed. But when we or when people sin against the eternal God, not just against another human, but the eternal God, the God without beginning and end, how can we recompense and make up for that? That's why it would be impossible, wouldn't it? Because we are not eternal beings. We, even in our souls, we are everlasting beings. We have a beginning. We're created beings. We have no end. God has no beginning and no end. So even if we were to die and God sends us to hell to be punished forever, we could never meet the recompense of eternal. Sinning against the eternal God without beginning and end. And that's why hell is forever. Because we can never meet the recompense. We can never pay back God's justice. And that's why Christ came. The eternal Son without beginning and end. And when he died on the cross and offered his soul, God the Father saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Because the justice was met and satisfied on Christ. But my friend, all that only had to happen once. One sacrifice for sin forever. And God's justice is completely satisfied for all that are in Christ Jesus. He offered, past tense, one sacrifice for sin forever. But this man, he did not come to offer Old Testament sacrifices. He came to do God's will. He came and offered one sacrifice for sin forever. Fourthly, he is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's verse 12 and 13. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne, that right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Sat down is a past active indicative. It's just a simple statement of fact that Christ has finished his work and he sat down at God's right hand. The work of redemption is finished. Expecting means waiting or tarrying that his enemies be made his footstool. That's again a past tense. It is going to happen. All Christ's enemies will be made his footstool under his feet. Let me give you a quote from John Owen the Puritan in his great commentary on Hebrews. Christ hath many enemies since his exaltation, and so shall have unto the consummation of all things, when they shall be all triumphed over. The head of this opposition is the Antichrist, with all his adherents, and in a special manner all worldly power, rule, authority, acting themselves in subserviency to the anti-Christian interest. Included in these enemies are all pernicious heresies against the person of Christ, against God's grace. Also all those who make profession of the gospel and live not as becomes the gospel. To these may be added sin, death, the grave, and hell. These shall all be deprived of their power and brought into absolute subjection by Christ expecting this. It is signified his rest and complacency in the faithfulness of his Father's promise and his infinite wisdom as to the season or times of their accomplishment. This man is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you come home from work tomorrow or the next day, if you're not Mayday, I suppose the next day, someday, every day, when you come home from work, what does it mean when you come home from work and you sit down? You know what it means? Work's over. It's finished for today. Isn't it? It's finished. That's exactly what it means here. Christ has sat down. The whole work of redeeming sinners is finished. He's done it all. Christ has accomplished the work of your salvation. And he's sitting down now and he's finished it. So why would a believer be worried, we might lose my salvation? Christ has finished your salvation. One more thing to say about this man. This man has saved his people. Verse 10, it says he has sanctified them. I mean, set them apart. Verse 12. One sacrifice for sins forever. This man offered one sacrifice for sin. He set them apart. He sanctified them. He's forgiven them. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected means completed. And then verses 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, the new covenant. I'll put my laws in their hearts and write them in their mind. And in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. This man has saved his people. Christ has internalized the law of God into the hearts of his people. And he has forgiven their sin. Jesus Christ, this man, has written the law in our heart, believer. And he's already forgiven and forgotten our sins. He's forgiven our sin. He's made us holy. He has completed us. He's kept us, will keep us, he loves us, and he's forgotten our sin. Who's he done this for? He's done it for those who believe these things. He's done it for those that are sinners and have seen themselves as sinners, who see themselves as making many mistakes and errors and wrongdoing, sins. And that's who he has forgiven. He forgives sinners who come to him. But it all, the whole of salvation, the whole of forgiveness, the whole of God's plan of redemption, all of it, all hinges upon this man of Hebrews 10 and faith in this man, according to Hebrews 11. So I want to ask you, do you trust in this man? Giving you 5 points. He came not to offer Old Testament sacrifices. He came to do God's will. He came to offer one sacrifice for sin forever. He came and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The work is finished and he saved his people. Do you know him? Are you looking to him and depending upon him? It says in Hebrews 9, the second half of verse 26, but now, once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You either are looking for him and have been fulfilled and you have salvation, or not. But do you remember the previous verse just before that? It is appointed unto man once to die. Once to die, and after that the judgment. This man is the only way of salvation. Who will this man save? Will he save me? Would he save me? You know who he'll save? It tells you that in Hebrews 7:25. It tells you who Christ will save. 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He saves all them who come to God through him. You come to God through Jesus Christ, and when you do that, you're saved, because he saves all them that come to God through him. And it says he's well able to save all them that come to God the Father through him. Jesus died once for sin. I ask you, will you come to him and trust him and come to God through him? Once you know him, you will see that he will help you through the rest of your life. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he will bless you, and he will never, ever let you down. The old Polycarp, the old bishop, the old elder in the church, when he was an old man in the early church, they took him out. I think it was 89 perhaps. I'm speaking off the top of my head. I can't remember, but he was in his 80s. He was an old man, and they wanted him to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were going to put him to death. And he said, about my Lord has saved me, and through all these long years has kept me. And he asked the persecutors the question, how then can I deny my Lord that saved me? And they killed him. They killed him. I close with quotes from two Puritans. William Bridges says this: when the Lord Jesus Christ offered up himself a sacrifice unto God the Father, and had our sins laid on him, he gave more perfect satisfaction unto divine justice for our sins than if you and I and all of us had been damned in hell to all eternity. For a creditor is more satisfied if his debt is paid to him all down at once than if it be paid by the week. John Owen says, Christ did not die for us upon any condition, if they do believe. But he died for all God's elect, that they should believe. They will believe. The precious Lamb of God gave up his golden fleece for us. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight. We turn in our psalters, please, to Psalm 40, and we'll end this part of the service after. If any